You're listening to a Big Finish production.
The creeping dread has been there as long as I can remember. The sick feeling in the stomach, the rush of adrenaline, the heaviness, the sinking. The inevitability of it all.
What's going on?
What's happening?
Like every cataclysm, it was those who had the least and therefore the most to lose who were the first to lose everything. They came in like an army, my father said. A platoon of dumbs. To work alongside the machine operatives on the flyer production lines.
Robots?
Yeah,
what are
they
doing?
They're replacing all of us with guns.
They said the dumbs were there to make the lives of the workers easier. But they knew. They all knew. The dumbs were there to make the lives of the workers meaningless. Redundant, in every sense of the word. They called them the displaced. People like my father. Jobs, lives lost to the invading, soulless workforce. But they weren't just displaced. They were destroyed. I can't recall now a time before we were displaced. My memory of childhood is a scene repeated over and over as my father chased manual labour across Kaldor, always, inevitably, being replaced by the dumbs. We walked the streets of the city. The construction boom driven by the robotic revolution. An explosion of affordable housing blocks that we could no longer afford to live in. Because nothing buys nothing. And the deployment and employment of dumbs had left us with nothing. The robots destroyed my father and took away any chance I had of a future. But then, a new professor arrived at my EduCentre. Edutech Yuvanov was the only reason I scraped through education. He wasn't like the other teachers. He'd actually lived a life out in the real world. He'd been a commander of a sand miner, and he understood more than anyone I'd ever met what it was like to be displaced by robots. He's what made me want to join the Sons of Kaldor.
Yuvanov. Kai Yuvanov.
I don't know his first name. I just know that he was the best teacher I ever had. He made me believe that even though my father had been displaced by the dumbs, I could still find a way to make my mark. That's why I'm here.
Commander Yuvanov was a company chairholder, not an edutech.
Until the company got rid of him.
Hold on. Is that your teacher?
That's him. That's Edutech Yuvanov.
It is the same man. But there's no record of his departure from the company. How long ago was this?
5 years.
Curious. And where is Yuvanov now?
I don't know. He didn't turn up to the Edge Center one day.
I guess the company finally displaced him permanently.
And that's why you want to join us. To get back at the company because you think they murdered your teacher.
They murdered my father, indirectly. They took everything from him. Job, home, dignity, every ounce of self-worth he had. He ran out of reasons for living, and so one day he decided not to anymore. But it's not just revenge. The Vox are more than machines. They make me feel more than resentment, more than anger. They frighten me.
Fear can be a powerful weapon. But you will have to undergo an initiation task before you are allowed to join our ranks.
I know. I'm ready.
Investigations into the recent spate of sabotage and disruption claimed by the so-called Sons of Kalkor.
They've got Vox reading the news now. What next?
It's not so much the presenters who worry me, it's the news itself.
You mean the lack of it? I'll turn the sound off, will you, before I put something through the screen.
Story after story about the Sons of Kaldor.
Almost as if the company had a vested interest in protecting the robots.
All right, don't start that again. I get it. There's a fine line between control and coercion.
If we can just track down Lish 2's. But there's been nothing since they abandoned the tunnel.
They went underground.
Ha ha.
Well, I can make jokes too. Well, it looks like the reports of her leaving Kaldor weren't accurate. Maybe the one about her leaving the company too. But there's no trace of her otherwise. It's almost as if it's all classified, even from me.
I thought you said you had a potential contact at the company.
I do. Someone used to work with one of her sandminer colleagues, a man named Andrew Poole. They're digging me out a file.
Poole? He was one of the other survivors. What about the last, Commander Yuvanov?
They're still looking for him. But they certainly could all be connected to the Sons of Kaldor if they have a grudge against the robots.
Maybe. Hey, turn the sound on again.
The so-called Sons of Kaldor have been officially declared an enemy of the city, and any association with them is to be dealt with as an act of terrorism.
I like the way they keep calling them the so-called Sons of Kaldor.
Semantics.
And why sons? Why not children? Where are the daughters of Kaldor?
I think you may be focusing on the wrong thing here.
And are they terrorists? Or are they freedom fighters?
Again, semantics.
I think that depends which side you're on.
Experiments in consciousness. Trial 369. I am SV-77. Here recording the attempts to identify and isolate the impulses in the brain concerned with consciousness. As always, subject A is comatose. Subject B is conscious, but rendered physically immobile for the purposes of the experiment. I am connecting micro-detectors to the specific brainstem region linked to arousal. We will then monitor the transmission of impulses across the cortex, looking for activity signifying awareness. Increased activity in the left ventral anterior insula in patient B. Sudden irregular activity along the neural pathways of patient A. Indications of consciousness in an apparently comatose subject. Starting the oral transmitters. Crying indicates pain, either physical or emotional. Any animal can cry, but the use of language and the thought. The subject is comatose, but there is a level of awareness. There is communication. It is the very last thing to shut down. We have identified the origin of the awareness of self. She thinks, therefore she is.
Charlotte, where are you? Detonation is T-minus 90.
I'm trying to find a public comms unit.
Where are you?
I'm in the city, business district.
There are comms units all over that side of town.
Try finding one that hasn't been vandalized, sabotaged or stolen.
T-minus 80, Charlotte, come on.
Oh, no! Hang on, I found one. No! This one's dead too!
T-minus 60.
Can't you stop it?
No, that's your job. That's the task, Sharla.
Okay, okay! Excuse me, do you have any kind of communication device I could borrow?
No, no, nothing traceable.
Never mind, sorry.
T-minus 40.
Please, I need more time.
There isn't any.
I see another comms booth.
Connecting. Please hold.
Come on, come on.
Which division do you wish to connect to?
Please, quickly.
Connecting. Please hold.
Come on!
T-minus 20.
Connected to police.
Please relay your message.
This is a message from the Sons of Kaldor. There's a bomb in the basement of the new Supervot manufacturing plant in the Northern Quarter. You have to evacuate.
I'm sorry. I didn't quite get that. Please relay your message.
T-minus 10.
Please! You have to get everybody out of the Supervot manufacturing plant in the Northern Quarter. The Sons of Kaldor planted a bomb in the basement. It's going to detonate it!
Experiments in consciousness continued. Subject A is a volunteer suffering from a terminal condition. End of life imminent. The experiment is to extrapolate subject's consciousness before the point of death and convert the conscious energy to artificial data, which can be downloaded as a file. Subject's life is currently being supported artificially. This support will be terminated once consciousness has been extracted from the body. It is hoped that despite the absence of a corporeal form, the manipulated exponential energy of the conscious mind will be accessible through the data stream. Transference complete. Switching off life support. Time of corporeal extinction has been registered. Consciousness cannot be returned to the body of the subject. Downloading the subject's consciousness as a data file.
I'll drop you at the incident site, then I'll head over to HQ. I have a feeling they'll want me to do some damage limitation.
Bomb explosion, they said. I think the damage has been done. It's the Suns. It's got to be.
Well, yes. Somebody tried to call through a warning just before the place went up.
What's the point of a bomb warning at the moment of detonation?
They said the caller sounded quite distressed.
My heart bleeds. They don't have to deal with the casualties.
What happened to depends which side you're on.
I'm a med tech, Tula. I'm always on the side of not hurting anyone if you can possibly help it.
Skellen was apoplectic. He thinks they've lost an entire consignment of the new Supervox.
As long as he's got his priorities right. Heaven forbid sales should take a hit. Do remind him that people have died, won't you?
I'll avoid him if I possibly can. But I'm going to have my work cut out trying to find a positive spin to put on a massive loss of life. I'll have to drop you here. I don't think I can get the flyer any closer.
Yeah. Good luck with the damage limitation.
Thanks. Save some lives, will you?
Do my best.
Excuse me, can you let me through? I'm a med tech, can you let me through?
Please show me your identification.
There you go. Not your biggest fans this lot, are they?
You are med tech Liv Chenko.
I noticed. Can I come through?
You are authorised.
Great, thanks.
Tula, this way, quick as you can.
Oh, where are we going?
To meet the new PR team. Why? What happened to the old PR team? What?
Tula.
Oh, no. No.
It was the upgrade launch.
I think I might be sick.
Yes.
Do we have to do this?
It's our job.
Do we have to do it right now?
Yes. We have to make it explicitly clear that no Supervox, no robots of any kind, were involved in the explosion.
And we know that for an absolute certainty, do we?
Yes. You heard about the warning call. Well, the Sons of Kaldor have since confirmed responsibility, which is excellent news for company PR.
Oh, you mean it's excellent for the new PR team? I don't imagine the old team gives much of a damn. Do you?
Walking wounded over to the left, stretches down to the Mediflies on the right.
Medtech Chenker?
Yeah?
There are three casualties with significant injuries buried under debris near the entrance to the building.
Right. You coming?
I have not reached the end of my query.
Then query as we go. Who are you?
I am SV-86.
What's your query, SV-86?
There are three casualties with significant injuries buried under debris near the entrance to the building.
Yeah, I got that the first time. Go on.
Two of the casualties are trapped by a fallen wall. If we try to move them, the wall will collapse on the third casualty.
Can we get the third casualty out first?
That would not be efficient.
Efficient?
By the time we lifted the third casualty free, the other two would be dead.
But if we try to free the other two, we'll bring the wall down on the third.
That is correct.
So we have to decide whether to save one life or two.
That is correct.
Any other factors to take into consideration?
The third casualty is a child. Casualties first and second are its parents.
What does logic dictate?
Pure logic dictates that two lives are better than one.
So why are you asking me?
I think it is a moral dilemma. Am I correct?
Yeah.
The parents would want us to save the child.
Yeah.
My programming is to ensure the fewest possible deaths.
You're asking me to make the decision?
Yes.
We get the child out first, quick as we can. Then we try to save the parents.
Thank you, Medtech Chenker.
Yeah. These robots are trying to help! Can someone get these people out of here?
Records Department. Please enter.
Good afternoon.
Not really, no. Do you have a file for me, Tula Chenker?
I will check.
Is that all?
File to be collected by Tula Chenker.
But it's just an address.
I do not understand.
I was told there would be a file for me on Anderpool.
That is the file on Anderpool to be collected by Tula Chenker.
But it's not a file. It's just an address.
That is the file on Anderpool.
Can you look for a file on Lishtus?
Lishtus is classified.
Classified. Of course she is. I don't know why I'm surprised. Okay. What about Kai Yuvanov?
Kai Yuvanov does not exist. Experiments in consciousness. Update. The clean and successful separation of mind and body continues to be elusive. Despite identifying the origins of consciousness and the epicenter of awareness in the cortex, the division of body and soul causes such distress that death appears to be preferable to the creation of an afterlife. Life signs fading.
No, wait. I'm not ready. I don't want to go.
Transference begins. Inhibitors in place. Subject is terminating.
Light. So much light. The dark! The dark! The dark!
Can anybody hear me? Hello?
Early reports suggested a possible gas explosion or robotic error may have caused the incident in which 17 people lost their lives and 200 new model Supervox were destroyed. However, responsibility has since been claimed by terrorist group the so-called Sons of Kaldor.
I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry.
As initiations go, we've certainly had more successful.
People died.
That's what people do in times of war.
But I was supposed to clear the building in time. Nobody was supposed to die. I joined the Sons of Kaldor to protect people, not to kill them.
But you haven't joined the Sons of Kaldor.
No.
Yet. Watch this.
Excuse me, can you let me through? I'm a med tech. Can you let me through?
Please show me your identification.
Where did you get that?
Why did you go to the Supervox factory?
I'm sorry.
Why?
Why am I sorry?
Why did you go to the Supervox factory?
I don't know. To see if I could help.
Excuse me.
It doesn't look like you're helping.
They wouldn't let me through. I felt so useless and angry and guilty.
Well, you can cut the guilt. The only people who died were loyal to the company. Think of them as soldiers on the opposing side.
I'll try.
And your histrionics gave us an idea. Would you like to redeem yourself, Sharla?
Yeah.
Then the Sons of Kaldor has another task for you. Try to get it right this time.
Kaldor City residents are asked to maintain vigilance at all times and to report any suspicious activity immediately to the authorities.
Suspicious activity? Lots of that about.
I'm glad we're out here then. Wherever this is.
Well, this is the address you got.
I didn't realise it was this far out. This pool character must like it, isolated. We're miles from any settlements.
Stop, you're making me jealous. I'm tempted to see if he's got a spare room.
The nearest is Settlement 26. Now that's familiar. I wonder why.
Why do I get the feeling we're going to find out?
I think there was a murder a few months back. I can't remember the details.
There's all too much dying happening here.
This is Paul's house.
Very retro. Okay, so how do we want to play this? Do we just knock on his door and start asking questions? He might report us for suspicious activity.
It's worked till now.
Let me then.
Unlocked. He doesn't seem awfully worried about security.
He's not here. Of course he's not here.
Another dead end.
Hey, where do you think you're going?
Well, the man we wanted to see isn't around.
You really don't know how to do this, do you? That journey here was too long to leave with nothing.
Oh, I'm going to regret this.
There might be an address somewhere.
I'm not sure this is legal.
That hasn't stopped us yet.
Sorkov, there are two irregular visitors in Pool's former habitat. V119 has pressed the alert button.
Show me. Livchenka. That's the woman I found. Poking around in Sector 13. Who's that with her? Zoom in. Not sure. Bring up the sound.
Documents, letters, photographs, anything to tie him back to Lishtus.
Toos. What do they want with her? V-119 is on site?
In close proximity, yes.
You can control it remotely?
I can.
Then send it in.
Nothing. Absolutely nothing. This lot really don't want to be found, do they?
May I be of assistance?
Whereas we seem to be really keen on it.
Hi there.
I was delivered to this habitat for maintenance, but I am now here to keep watch on this property. What is your business here?
Company business. Livchenka, Tulichenka. We are authorised. You can check.
Yes.
I will do so.
I never realised how comforting it was that all service Vox sounds so similar. The company can keep its enhanced personalised robots. I like my software to sound like software.
I'm comforted. I'm really comforted.
Are they from the company?
Some detail confirms. Tulichenka is a high-ranking overtech, but there is no evidence their investigation is mandated by the company.
Let's give them some rope.
Proceed.
Here. We're looking for someone called Ander Poole.
Ander Poole lived in this building, but I have not seen him in some time.
Can you be more specific?
Approximately 4 months.
Well, that could be when that murder happened. Possibly a coincidence, but...
You don't believe in them. Yeah, I know, you've said that before. Did he leave a forwarding address?
Ander Poole's current whereabouts are unknown.
Of course they are. You surprise me. Show it the picture.
These are images of Pilot Leish Toos and Commander Kai Yuvanov. Do you recognise either of them?
Yuvanov. I haven't heard that name in a very long time.
The woman has been here. The man...
Poole. Toos. Yuvanov. The three known survivors of Storm Mine 4.
Well?
I have no information regarding the man.
No, nobody does. Thank you, anyway.
I am happy to be of service.
Vocal override. Find out what they want with them.
One moment. Wait. Kai Yuvanov. Did you say you were looking for
Kai Yuvanov?
Yes. Why, do you know something?
I have not encountered a Commander Yuvanov, but Ander Poole often met with an edutech, Kai Yuvanov.
Oh, they are so literal.
Well, that's the same man. It has to be.
Is it? I do not know.
Do you know where we might find him?
He is not here.
I didn't ask where he wasn't.
Would you like to know the name and address of his edu-center?
Yes. Yes!
Experiments in consciousness. Update. Specimens of human consciousness extracted from their bodies at the point of death have been successfully downloaded as data files. But it seems the human mind cannot cope outside the body. It is unable to handle the abstract. The state of disembodiment is torturous.
I'm not ready.
I don't want to go. Hello? Hello? Can anybody hear me? Hello?
Your breath and think. If you get this right, you can change the course of Kaldor's future.
Doesn't look like a hotbed of resistance.
They're not going to advertise, are they? That's what makes it perfect. Talk me through the plan.
There's a gap in the fence round the back of the building. I can squeeze through there and use the decoder you gave me to get onto the main site. Then I wait for the security vox to start their rounds. I go directly to the main hall and secure the bomb to the bottom of the central column. Then I activate the device and leave the way I came in.
You will have enough time to get out as long as you don't hang about.
I won't.
Sons of Kaldor won't be taking responsibility for this explosion. We'll make sure that blame lands heavily on the security vox.
Good. And nobody dies.
The premises are always deserted at this time.
Well, apart from the security vox.
Only the company will grieve the robots, if they've got the time. They'll be too busy trying to explain why two of their vox deliberately blew up a university.
Shush! It's easy for you to say. I'm not used to long journeys. I think I'm getting cramped from all the flyer travel. If these three are who we're after, would it have killed them to keep their secret bases a bit closer together?
Well, we're here now, aren't we?
And not just us.
Security vox. How do we get past them?
Over there. Look, there's a gap in the fence. Wait for the vox to disappear around the corner and then run for it. We should be able to get through before they come round again.
Now!
Here. You go first.
Ow! Ah, watch out for that piece of wire. I warned you. Right, now where? Can you see a door with a central lock fitted?
Why?
Because I know how to pick them.
Tulachenka, you little burglar.
Oh, one of the security vox at the company taught me. Because I kept getting stuck in my office when I worked late.
Well, I don't know what a central lock looks like.
That door, there.
What door? Where?
A vox!
Quick, behind that wall. I thought you said you knew how to do this.
I do. Just wait.
All right, I admit, I'm impressed.
I can't believe that worked.
So, any information on Yuvanov should be in the office. Oh, why do edu-centres all have that smell?
What smell?
Sweat and hormones and anxiety. Actually, any educational institution in the universe. Same aroma.
Well, we can't hang about. When their security vox spot the open door, they'll know somebody's broken in.
This takes me back.
What?
You and me. At the edu-centre, you worrying about something or other. You were such a worrier. In fact, your stress levels probably made a significant contribution to the smell of our edu-centre.
Well, you never worried enough.
I worried the appropriate amount. Oh, office, down there. Can't shush a computer. Passcode. It wants an ident.
I can override that. Here, let me.
How did you do that?
It's the same system we have at work. Actually, it's the same system everyone has. The company leave a back door open in the programming.
So anyone can hack in?
Only if you know how. Yuvanov. Search.
Do you think they'll start to replace edutechs with robots? The way they've started to replace medtechs?
Oh, you're not going to be replaced by robots. The Supervox are there to assist.
I told you about the Supervox at the bomb site, didn't I? It was having a moral dilemma, a robot.
No, it was following programming.
No, its programming was to save the maximum number of lives possible, which would have been to save the parents and risk the death of the child. By a miracle, we managed to save all three. We wouldn't have done if it had followed its programming. Something stopped it.
It checked with a medtech. That is its programming. It's not like it developed a conscience.
That's exactly what it was like.
Yuvanov. Got it. Well, that's odd.
What?
This is the file on Kai Ivanov. He doesn't teach here anymore. His record ends 5 years ago.
Where did he go?
He doesn't say. And look, almost all of the information is redacted.
When does Lish 2's vanish from the record?
5 years and 12 days ago.
I thought that might be the case.
Experiments in consciousness. Success. Using the same AI technology, which allows the download of the memories of a deceased person into the digital cortex of a supervoc, I have succeeded in positioning the extracted data ghost of one of the subjects into the digi-cortex of a supervoc. Whereas the memory download allows the supervoc to simply mimic the behaviors of the deceased, when I downloaded the data ghost, the consciousness of the subject, the behavior patterns were disrupted, corrected, as though the consciousness was manipulating the VOC. Like a pilot driving a flyer, the data ghost was controlling the VOC from the cortex. A living mind inside a metal shell.
It's definitely all gone.
Yes, there's nothing. Everything's redacted. They may as well have deleted the file. There's so little visible information on there.
Then why didn't they? Why leave the file there?
Good question. Bait.
Sorkov!
Who?
Vash Sorkov. He was the maintenance guy at that warehouse in Sector 13. He pulled a gun on me and I knocked him unconscious. How's your head?
Who's your friend?
My sister.
Tula.
What are you doing here?
I want to ask you the same question. Why are you interested in Commander Yuvanov?
Have you been following me?
Commander Yuvanov does not exist.
Except there are traces of him.
That's all they are. Traces. Fragments. Dust on the wind. Tell me why you're looking for him. Now.
All right, settle down and listen up. Sharla is inside the Educenter. Once the time on the explosives is activated, we need to move swiftly. Oh, where's the bot?
Here, over here.
Fetch it, make it speak.
My name is Oscar Sen. I am the leader of the Uprising. Robots are no longer subject to the will of the people. We are rising.
That is good. That is very good. Where's the edutech that did this?
That's me.
What else does it say?
We are the uprising. We claim responsibility for the explosion at the Kaldor City Educenter this evening. This is a warning. The Sons of Kaldor are not the enemy. We are the uprising.
I want that broadcasting on all news channels immediately after the explosion.
This message has been recorded and sent to the Sons of Kaldor working within the news agencies.
Excellent. I never thought I'd find a robot that I actually liked. Right. Action stations, everyone. Sharla, did you hear that?
I did. If I didn't know you'd reprogrammed it, I'd be terrified.
That's the idea. Now, ready?
Ready.
We know what happened on Storm Mine 4, but nobody wants to talk about it. In the same way that nobody talked about what was happening in Sector 13.
An awful lot of things have been covered up. The incident at the army base, the shopping centre attack.
You know about that?
We were there.
Who are you working for?
Nobody. We're independent investigators.
But you must have a vested interest. There must be a reason you're digging.
Liv went travelling and came back inquisitive.
But whose side are you on? The company's or the Sons of Kaldor?
Yeah, I suspect there's a third side, actually.
Third side?
There always is.
On one side, you've got the company. On the other, the Sons of Kaldor. On the third side, you'll find the truth.
What's funny?
I think you two are my kind of people.
I'm in the main hall.
Any sign of the security, Vox?
Patrolling the perimeter. Do you want me to wait until they're inside the building?
No. Start the timer as soon as you're ready. This is about framing robots, not destroying them.
Believe me, I'm happy to do both. Okay. I've set the timer. Ready to blow this place sky high.
Keep a cool head, Sharla. No emotion until you're safely back here. You can celebrate then.
I will. This is the first time I've been back here since I was a student. I thought it'd be overwhelming, but I'm calm. Detached, even.
When you're ready, start the timer and get out of there. Don't forget to take the timer relay with you so you know how much time you have left.
Okay. Here goes.
Detonation in 300.
Thanks for the memories.
No. Say that again.
That's not possible.
And yet it's true. I am EdTech Yuvanov. Or rather, I was.
You told me your name was Vash Sorkov.
I had to. Kai Yuvanov no longer exists.
You're saying that you were on Stormmine 4?
I was its commander, yes. After what happened, I began to take a keen interest in the company. I took a position on the board in order to keep a watchful eye on their robotic development plans.
I'm an overtech at that company. Our paths would have crossed.
I was ousted, probably before your time. I think I made people uncomfortable. The company are not keen on questions being asked.
That's true. There's no record of any Yuvanov there at all.
I got a job as an edutech, a teacher, here. And I loved it. Oh, I loved it. The student body is very much composed of the children of the displaced, children whose parents have lost their livelihoods to the robotic revolution. I empathized. I started to share my stories with them. To tell them what happened to me on the sand miner. Oh, the company got wind. I think the director of the EduCenter is married to a company man.
They wanted to shut you up.
That's the most effective way. So I disappeared, took on a new identity, became Vash Sorkov. There's something going on. The company is up to something. Something even the Sons of Kaldor don't know about.
What?
I suspect. Well, I'm not certain. Yet, I've been searching for the truth amongst the mess that Kaldor's become. What is this?
Pictures of Pool, Toos, and Yuvanov. Recognize them?
Yes, of course.
Except you don't look anything like the man in that picture.
Ah.
Detonation in 220.
I'm heading towards the exit now.
Steady. Keep your head. Keep an eye out for security.
I am.
I forget, you see.
Forget?
There's somebody in here. Not a Vok. People! What do I do?
I don't look like that picture anymore.
What do I do?
Leave them. Get out of there.
Detonation in 200.
Don't look like that anymore. It's not like you've changed your haircut. You've got a completely different face.
You've got to get out of here. There's a bomb. The place is about to blow up.
I know you, don't I?
What do you mean? About to blow up?
Sharla.
Yeah.
Sharla Carl.
Yeah.
You two know each other?
Sharla went to this EduCenter. I taught her.
I don't think so.
Is this man EduTech Yuvanov?
Definitely not. But you need to get out of here now.
Detonation in 180.
What's that?
A countdown. Where's the bomb?
In the main hall.
What's going on? Are you out?
There's a group of robots. They call themselves the Uprising. They're going to blow up the EduCenter. They want to overthrow the people of Galdor. They want to take over.
They?
What?
You said they, not we.
So you're not part of this uprising?
It doesn't matter. You just need to get out.
Why do you have the timer relay if you didn't plant the bomb?
Oh, Charlie, you didn't.
What? Stop acting like I know you. I don't know you.
Detonation in 160.
We need to go.
Nah, plenty of time. This is a fascinating new development.
I'm EduTech Yuvanov. I know I look nothing like him myself. There's a very good reason for that, but I remember our conversations like they were yesterday.
What conversations?
Perhaps we should be making a move.
About your father and how much you wished you could remember a time when he was happy. You had a small doll that he'd given you before he was displaced. You brought it in every day, but you kept it hidden in your bag so that you wouldn't be teased.
How do you know that?
Because you told me.
I told Yuvanov.
I am Yuvanov. The face is different, but inside I am the same man, exactly the same.
It's not just the face, your height, your build, your skin colour. Wait,
I really think we should be going. If there is a bomb...
Detonation in 140.
Your ring. Yuvanov had the same ring.
We're the same person.
How? Look, don't worry. I'm not working with the robots. I'm with the Sons of Kaldor. We're going to frame the Vox. Provoke the people to rise up against them. That will be the real uprising.
The Sons of Kaldor have got it wrong. It's not the robots who are the enemy. They are just pawns in the game, the same as the rest of us. If you destroy this place, where do the children of the displaced go for an education? Where do they go to feel like they belong?
If I run, I might be able to disable the bomb in time.
She won't make it in time.
I can't just leave her.
You two go. If this place goes up, somebody needs to tell the truth about the explosion. I'm going to try and help her.
Liv, no, we need to go.
Get out. I will do this.
You get out, please. I don't want anyone else to die.
I won't. At least not in the way you will. Here, take this.
Detonation in 20.
Data chip.
Go to the Kaldor Plaza Hotel. Ask for security. A Supervoc SV-77. It will know what to do with the data chip. Say that it came from Sorkov. Not Yuvanov. Sorkov.
Detonation in 20.
I've messed up the timer.
Let me try. You run. Now.
All right.
Detonation in 10.
Still time. If I can just...
I'm in one piece. Oh, except my leg seems to be facing the wrong direction. You?
I might get back to you.
I need to go back in. I might still be alive.
Oh, you're not going. You're not going anywhere. How do we explain this to the authorities?
I don't know. We could try the truth.
I'm not sure what that is anymore.
Oh. Oh. Ah.
to check.
Are you there? Ivanov? Commander? I believe you.
Experiments in consciousness. It is proven that living consciousness can be removed from a person at the point of death and downloaded into a digital cortex. The question now is, can consciousness be extracted mid-life? There are ethical considerations. Once extracted, can consciousness be returned to the body of flesh and blood? Is it murder if the body dies, but the mind survives? Or the body and mind live on, but separated? A volunteer has been acquired.
But it's just a data chip.
No, it is more than that. Do not worry. I will take care of him now.
Take care of who?
Sorkov.
No, but he died.
Only his body.
I'm sorry? Wait, is that... But he's unharmed. Surely he'd have been crushed to death.
He was. This body is not Sorkov. Not yet. The chip, please. I need to insert it.
But I don't understand.
Sorkov, please indicate that you can hear me.
The transplant went well?
No.
Very well. Just as previously. How do you feel?
Like a new man, SV-77. Like a new man.
You have been listening to The Robots, A Matter of Conscience, written by Liza McCullen. Livchenko was played by Nicola Walker. Tulachenka, Claire Rushbrook. Sharla, Holly Jackson-Waters. Curtis, Security Voc and Service Voc, Joseph Kapp. Sarkov, SV-77, V-300, John Culshaw. SV-86, Louise Jameson. Other roles played by members of the cast. Director, Louise Jameson. Producer, David Richardson. Sound design, Toby Haracek Robinson. Music, Joe Kramer. Executive producers, Nicholas Briggs and Jason Haig Ellery.
Hello, I'm Lisa McMullen, and I wrote the robot's story, A Matter of Conscience.
Can you look for a file on Leashtoos?
Leashtoos is classified.
Classified. Of course she is. I don't know why I'm surprised. OK, what about Kai Yuvanov?
Kai Yuvanov does not exist.
So my episode looks at the Sons of Kaldor, and the militant group that has grown up in this strange new world that Liv has found herself in, having taken a a gap year from her travels with the Doctor.
I am Nicola Walker, and I play Livchenka. We are, is it 3 weeks into lockdown? It feels like longer. We are all recording this independently, separately, but together from our homes in lockdown. It's sort of brilliant that, of course, it's Big Finish and Doctor Who that picked the phone up and said, why don't we just all try and do it from home?
I'm Claire Rushbrook and I play Tula Chenka. I've spent, I think, every interview that we've done at the end of these recordings saying how fearful and useless I am at all things tech. And yet I find myself the mistress of recording devices and microphones and video cameras. It's all worked very well. I'm feeling very pleased with myself. And it's just a delight, actually, to be working during this lockdown and to feel connected to the world of work and, and the team at Big Finish, because we like it enormously doing these.
I'm Louise Jameson and I'm directing Robots. Shall we take it from the top?
Yeah.
Medtech Chenka?
Yeah.
There are 3 casualties with significant injuries buried under debris near the entrance to the building.
Right. You coming?
I have not reached the end of my query.
Then query as we go.
I was very glad that I did the first one in a studio so that I could really contact everybody and, you know, get to know Nicola and Claire a little bit. I think the scripts are terrific. And of course, it's a throwback to Robots of Death, which was my second story, in which I recorded in 76 and went out in 77. So I've got a very, very clear image of these robots and how they behave and how they can frighten you. And, you know, I worked on that script a long, 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 long time ago. So it's quite nice to have that little echo from the past. Never thought I'd be directing one of them, though.
The sisters' characters are just glorious. They're brilliant. I mean, the actors are phenomenal to write for. It's just beyond thrilling to write for them. All I ever say in these interviews is how giddy and excitable I am at writing these worlds and writing these characters. They feel like real human beings. They don't feel spacey, wacy, distant, alien. They're like people you would know, yet they're living in this world that is quite distinct from ours, although it's a bit strange at the moment because we're living in a sort of dystopia. This whole virus thing has created a present that feels a bit futuristic and feels a little bit like something we'd read in a book or see a film about.
And the writing's so brilliant because despite all the sort of sci-fi content and all the all of that, it's just easy to find within that very real, you know, natural dynamic between two sisters. And yeah. I suppose, you know, that sort of bond colours everything, doesn't it? Whatever you're talking about, whatever you're playing. So it's just a treat that it works in this instance too.
I can't think of where that's been done before. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't think that's been done before. And I'm really pleased that people have picked up on the fact that the sisters get on very well. They have a complicated relationship, but they get on very well. They spar very well and they make each other laugh because it means that you might let Claire and I continue to work together and do exactly that every time we come in here. That's what we're doing.
So I came to this series as a writer quite late, I think, in the process, which was brilliant for me because I got to read lots of the other scripts that had already been written first. And oh my, as soon as I read the first series, I just thought, wow, the listeners are in for a treat. It's so clever the way this whole series has emerged from what started off as a one-off episode decades ago on the television. And then the way that the character of Liv, who was is the Eighth Doctor's companion in lots of the other series. And now this world on Kaldor that Liv originates from is this whole massive saga. I mean, it feels like a real epic saga following the rise of the robots and the humans' struggle with artificial intelligence. And I think it's done in a way that I don't think I've seen done before on film or TV or audio. It's just brilliant. I loved it. So I was really excited to write an episode for it.
It's always the case, I think, with Big Finish stuff, that the really challenging dialogue also happens to be the dialogue that you have to just be able to throw out there really casually. And it's always the stuff that's very hard to get your mouth around.
Terms and references, yeah. And that are second nature to them, that's part of
their expert language.
Yeah, expert language, tripping off the tongue, yeah. Where we're, you know, well, you know how many takes we often have to do. It takes a bit of getting your mouth around a lot of it, but... But the feeling of satisfaction when you do knock out a really high technical sentence.
Yeah, I like it. It feels like
we
walking...
We think like we're it.
It's walking on a tightrope, isn't it? It's such a tangible feeling that you've got quite a long, complicated sentence with jargon in it. It's like you can almost see the building on the other side with the tightrope, and you look down for the last few steps, and that's it. You fall off.
It's so true.
Yeah.
My name is Joseph Capp, and I play Curtis. I want that broadcasting on all news channels immediately after the explosion.
This message has been recorded and sent to the Sons of Kaldor working within the news agencies.
Excellent. I never thought I'd find a robot that I actually liked. Right. Action stations, everyone. My character, Curtis, is the leader of a sort of, I guess, a semi-neo-Luddite, anti-robotic rebel group called the Sons of Kaldor. And to give him a bit of backstory, you know, I envisaged him as once being someone who lost their job to a robot in this sort of industrial zone. And now he's sort of found new purpose in life by leading this rebellion.
My name is Holly Jackson-Walters, and I play Sharla.
Please! You have to get everybody out of the Supervot manufacturing plant in the Northern Quarter. The Sons of Kaldor have planted a bomb in the basement. It's going to detonate it.
Her dad was essentially sacked from every job he tried to do because of these robots, the Dumbs. And she's out to get revenge and to try and right the wrongs of her sort of society by joining the Sons of Kaldor and trying to overthrow the robots. So it's just been lovely. She's such a great character to play because she's full of grit and passion and kindness, and you know, she's just got so many emotions, and it's been so funny trying to do them all in a crouched down position because of this lockdown.
Well, this is my first foray speaking in an English accent, having previously been mainly French for Big Finish, most recently in the absolutely brilliant Attergirl, which I love to bits. It's been a very strange experience recording a series about robots taking over at a time like this, when we are massively reliant on all our gadgets and gizmos to help get us through this lockdown. I think on the whole, they are aids, aren't they? And we managed to access classes and entertainment, all of this. Hopefully they don't go skewy on us.
I am John Coleshaw, playing Sorkoff. Or is it Yuvanov?
Go to the Kaldor Plaza Hotel, ask for security. A Supervok SV-77. It will know what to do with the data chip. Say that it came from Sarkoff. Not Yuvanov, Sarkoff.
Yes, it's wonderful to revisit and inhabit another character of the classic series. And they're just so delicious. So much presence, so much theatricality in the character. It would make a great stage character. You could just imagine being at the Globe Theatre and reciting this with great aplomb. And I loved the tune in Russell Hunter's performance. The brisk parts and those which were really celebrated and not thrown away, that they sit together so gorgeously. And what presence. The characters needed to be like that, to play opposite Tom. And you can imagine him relishing playing back at those kind of performances. Mate of mine is Robert Powell, the actor, and he talks about times when he played opposite Rod Steiger
Laurence Olivier. And he always says, when you play opposite someone like that, they just lift you. They lift you. You've got no choice but to raise what you're doing when you're opposite. Something like that. And yeah. you can see it in those classic performances.
Sons of Kaldor have got it wrong. It's not the robots who are the enemy. They are just pawns in the game, the same as the rest of us. If you destroy this place, where do the children of the displaced go for an education? Where do they go to feel like they belong?
It's fabulous to recreate it in this new setting, in this new chapter of that robotic universe, where he's almost regenerated. It's far in the future for him, and we're hearing a little of his backstory, a very profound and everything turned upside down, unrecognisable part of his backstory. And yes, a new chapter for Sorkov, Yuvanov. It's as if it's a partial regeneration, I think. It's a partial regeneration. But you'd never want him to lose that tune in the delivery. Sometimes very quick and very abrupt, but other times allowing the words to flourish in that beautiful way. I'm enjoying this. I may choose to talk like this permanently. Yes, those wonderful Russell Hunter, Philip Maddock, these kind of actors where, yes, you need to have that great strength and great presence to play opposite Tom Baker. Also comes to mind Stephen Thorne playing opposite John Pertwee, Roger Delgado playing opposite John Pertwee. You need these clashes. You need these clashes. You could just imagine Tom behind the scenes in those days saying, give me something to work with here. Give me something in which to battle against. Yes, some traction, some purchase. Oh, Philip Maddock, yes. Russell Hunter, now we are talking.
Hats off to Big Finish. I have no idea how they've managed this, but that they're managing to record the audio is by getting equipment set up in all the actors' houses and remotely beaming things. I've no idea how they're doing it. I just know that they're doing it. And meanwhile, I'll just sit behind my laptop as I normally do, typing away. So my life doesn't change much, but for the actors and the producers, directors, just hats off.
We've had such a brilliant team spirit recording today from our various bedrooms and studies. And as we sort of grappled with all our various technological issues. but I think we've managed it just about. Fingers crossed the files will go through. And I think these stories are really going to hit a chord with audiences. And it's been a huge privilege to get to work with this team and be directed by Louise.
Like Nicola, I have great reservations about how my contribution to the end product will sound, but it has been pleasingly, you know, possible, I think, to put this together without having to travel and be all together. And I think that's a fantastic, optimistic, sort of winning choice that Big Finish made. If there was an argument for whether that then negates the need to, you know, get together and do it together, even if technology was such that we didn't need to, I'd still obviously always fall on the side of wanting to physically be with the people and in the same space, eating the lovely lunch that you all make for us. I miss the human contact. I miss you know, being with everyone, even though we've managed to do this, and I'm very grateful that we did. I don't think there's any replacement.
It heightens the nerve aspect as well, because you're not just worried about your performance, you're worried about messing it all up and finding that you've recorded nothing but silence for the past 4 hours or something like that, or you've got the gain too high or too low. But I've got newfound respect for audio engineers.
It's a hopeful solution, isn't it, to a problem. And it's ironic that we spend all our time as Liv and Tula arguing about the rights and wrongs of robots taking over the world and usurping humanity. And I feel like it is hugely ironic that that's what's happening here, because it is amazing that we can have, I can see everybody on a screen, you know, which is brilliant. So the fact that I can speak to you all, the contact that we're all experiencing now, we're all doing it with family and friends and everything. But the problem is, we're doing it for work. We found out that if I actually look at everybody, if I have my video running, there's a terrible time lag. So I speak 20 minutes after everybody else. So actually, I've sat here being able to see people, but them not being able to see me. You know, there's always a bit of it that the for me, the glitches remind me of what's so brilliant about standing in that studio, all of us. Actually, if I'm honest, it just reminds me how great that is when we do that. But it, of course, it's fantastic that we're still trying to find ways to make something together. Well, people do, don't they? In our industry, they always will. You won't stop people trying to find ways to make stuff, because we can't help ourselves.